This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And of course, you know what time it is. We are going to, I should note this hour, we're going to talk about how they seize the means of legitimacy. We're going to go into that a bit after Medal of Honor Monday. I'll do some emails, we'll get to some other things, but it is Monday. It's the start of the second hour on Monday, and that means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. For you new listeners, and I realize we have a ton of them right now, every single Monday here on the Jesse Kelly Show, we do the only decent thing we do all week long. We take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. Everyone who's ever earned a Medal of Honor, they do a citation. They do a write-up on what the guy did. And on Mondays, we take those and we just read one. It's important. And it's something I want to encourage you to do in your own life. It's important to remember these men. These names, you don't know these names. I don't know these names. We should know these names. The names should be remembered. Their deeds should be remembered. And honestly, more important than that, our children should hear us speak about these men and their deeds with reverence, because it tells children the kind of people they should grow up to be. It is important for our culture and our country to read these. And every Monday we read them. And you know, you can email the show, love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can also email in suggestions if you have ones you like or ones you're related to. This one says, Mr. Kelly, I'm submitting a Medal of Honor citation for Chris Carr. His name is Christos Karaberis, but they call him Chris Carr. Christos's brother also distinguished himself in the military as he rose to the rank of admiral. If you choose to read the citation on the air, I'd appreciate your staff giving me a heads up on the whole thing. So, Chris, make sure you give the guy a heads up. Anyway, without further ado, and this is from World War II in Italy, this is the Medal of Honor citation for a Mr. Chris Carr, United States Army.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
Leading a squad of Company L, he gallantly cleared the way for his company's approach along a ridge towards its objective, the Cassone dei Remagna. When his platoon was pinned down by heavy fire from enemy mortars, machine gun, machine pistols, and rifles, he climbed in advance of his squad on a maneuver around the left flank to locate and eliminate the enemy gun positions. Undeterred by deadly fire that ricocheted off the barren, rocky hillside, he crept to the rear of the first machine gun and charged, firing his submachine gun. In this surprise attack, he captured 8 prisoners and turned them over to his squad before striking out alone for a second machine gun. Discovered in his advance and subjected to direct fire from hostile weapons, he leaped to his feet and ran forward, weaving and crouching, pouring automatic fire into the emplacement that killed 4 of its defenders and forced the surrender of a lone survivor. He again moved forward through heavy fire to attack a third machine gun. When close to the emplacement, he closed with a nerve-shattering shout and burst of fire. Paralyzed by his whirlwind attack, all 4 gunners immediately surrendered. Once more, advancing aggressively in the face of a thoroughly alerted enemy, he approached a point of high ground occupied by 2 machine guns which were firing on his company on the slope below. Charging the first of these weapons, he killed 4 of the crew and captured 3 more. Good grief. The 6 defenders of the adjacent position, cowed by the savagery of his assault, immediately gave up. By his one-man attack, heroically and voluntarily undertaken in the face of tremendous risks, Sergeant Carr captured 5 enemy machine gun positions, killed 8 Germans, took 22 prisoners, cleared the ridge leading to his company's objective, and drove a deep wedge into the enemy line, making it possible for his battalion to occupy important commanding ground. Daggone. And he lived. And for you history buffs or World War II buffs, the most under-talked about, I know that's not a term, but I went to community college. Yeah, it is, Chris. It is now. When you're on the radio, you can make up whatever you want, Chris. That's the point. Anyway, the most under-talked about part of World War II was the fighting in Italy for a few different reasons. One, Italy did not end up being that significant when it comes to the results of the war. And I wish that wasn't the case. But the fighting in Italy was so incredibly savage because Italy, it is a natural defense structure. It is mountains and valleys and rivers. It's all rocky mountains. If you had to create a natural fortress, you would create the terrain of Italy, mountains and rivers and valleys. And once they got the useless Italians out of the way and the Germans took over all of the defensive positions, remember, the Germans were beasts. The Germans knew how to fight, and they certainly knew how to defend. The fighting in Italy was vicious and deadly. And many, many, many brave souls, American souls, gave their lives fighting in that place. And of course, it was a huge screw-up called the soft underbelly of Europe, which of course it was not. And while we were piddling around down in Italy, Stalin was busy taking over half of Europe at the time. So it turned out to be a monumental screw-up by FDR. But that aside, if you want to dig into a World War II saga that's not common, you know, everyone's read about Pearl Harbor and Iwo Jima and stuff like that. If you want to dig into a World War II saga, dig into any one of the Italian campaigns, you're going to be blown away at what you don't know. What, Chris? What? Chris said there's multiple. Well, no, I guess you could call it all one big campaign, but remember, we had to fight for Sicily first, that big island that's off the coast. It's off the toe of the boot of Italy. Gosh, Chris, do you even own a map? Do you own a map? Chris? Anyway, we had to fight. We had to take Sicily first, and then we had to. It's a long story. It's a long story, but it's a fascinating story and an amazing story. And speaking of Medal of Honor citations, you know, there are. I don't have any complaints in the world about doing media for a living because this isn't even a job. You have a job. I've had a million jobs in my lifetime. This is the only time I've ever done media, and it's amazing. I don't have any complaints. I enjoy it. It's a blast, as you can tell. But there, every now and then, there are things you get to do that are just freaking cool because of the job. And so I've got to brag. Clint Romeshaw. Have you ever listened to the show when we've had Clint on? We've had Clint on a couple times. Clint Romeshaw, he's a Medal of Honor recipient. A genuine, still living, still breathing American hero. Clint Romeshaw. Because I'm doing this and because Clint, he works so closely with Pure Talk, Clint is in town tonight. As soon as I take these headphones off, as soon as the show is over, I get to go have a late dinner tonight with Clint Romeshaw. And of course, because he's a Medal of Honor winner, he'll be obnoxiously humble about the whole thing. You know, it'll take the jaws of life to try to pry information out of him. But I'm going to do whatever I have to do. Chris, if I have to pour margaritas down this guy's throat or whatever, I'm going to get some intel out of Clint Romeshaw. I want to know what makes an American hero like this. And anyway, that's something I get to do tonight after the show because I get to do the show. Isn't that freaking cool? I told my sons this morning, we were getting ready for school and breakfast and wife was there and coffee and things like that. And I told him, hey, going to be a little late, going to go have dinner. And I told him who I'm going to have dinner with. My sons are absurdly jealous. They're absurdly jealous. For them, you know, I mean, they're not little kids, so they don't think he's a superhero. But for them, he's pretty close. That's about as close as it's about as close as you can get to a real life superhero. And so believe me, I rubbed it in big time. I told the kids that he was going to bring his Medal of Honor along so I could touch it. Now, I don't think he's going to bring his Medal of Honor along because he's so humble about the whole thing. If I ever earned a Medal of Honor, which of course I wouldn't have, I would have been hiding in a ditch or something like that, I'm assuming. But if I had ever earned a Medal of Honor when I was in the Marines, I would wear it everywhere. I would wear it just down to the gas station. Oh, Chris, I would. Chris knows I'm telling the truth. It wouldn't matter where I was. Oh, what's that? Church on Sunday? Hang on. Forgot my Medal of Honor. Gotta. I would. It'd be great. All right, let's talk about them grabbing the organizations that hand out legitimacy and how that affects us as a society. We have to be aware of how they do that and why they do that before we do that. I wonder if... if you walked around with your Medal of Honor, if you walked around with your medal on all the time, I wonder if it would create any neck pain. But that would be okay if it did, because then you could have relief factor anyway. Even that wouldn't dissuade me from wearing the medal around because I would have relief factor to take care of it. You see, relief factor, it's not drugs. It's drug-free. But it will care for that pain. Maybe you have foot pain or knee pain. Maybe your neck hurts from your Medal of Honor. I don't know your story, but I know your body is trying to fight the inflammation and your body needs help. That's where relief factor comes in. It's help for your body. And I don't need you to take my word for it. Please don't take my word for it. Try it for 3 weeks. If in 3 weeks you don't feel better, promise me you'll never order it again. They sell 3-week quick start kits. $19.95, natural. Take care of your pain naturally. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We just got done with Medal of Honor Monday. If you missed any part of that, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, on Spotify, on iTunes. So before I get to them legitimizing the institutions, I will tell you something that I find odd and something I'm still getting used to. Chris and I were just joking about this during the break. You know, how I've lived a normal life for all my life. I've lived a normal life. I haven't had this media job. And so Chris and I are still getting used to having this huge platform where people listen. And I told you the story before about the tape, the mouth tape and the nose strip stuff. In case you're just joining us, I had said a joke online. So one of these health freaks was talking about the beauty of mouth tape. Apparently some people are taping their mouths at night because it is better for you to breathe through your nose. And I made a joke online. It was just a joke I made a joke about buying some mouth tape for the wife, right? I was making, she talks all the time joke. It was just a joke. Right? It was just a gag. And then this company sends me a bunch of mouth tape because I had talked about it online. Well, you know how I've been joking about the ice maker? I mean, the ice maker thing, I know it's stupid that I'm happy about it. It's a $40 ice maker that sits on the counter. It's not even a nice one. But I really do like having ice all the time. And so I've been, it's just kind of a bit. I just decided to keep bragging about the ice maker I have. Chris said an ice maker company reached out wanting to send us an ice maker. Chris, I don't understand why we can't accept it. That's not like you to reject free stuff. What do you think? What? Are they going to ask us to give a nice review of it? I imagine they probably would ask us, but can't we refuse that? I don't know. I would feel like a mooch. No, don't accept it. No. Okay, yeah, now you talk me into it. Okay, now don't accept it. Whatever, Chris. I'm done talking to Chris right now. I want to talk to you about something. The communist, I want you to think about society as a tree, a big, big tree, okay? So there are roots. There's the trunk of the tree, goes up into the branches, and the branches obviously branch out. Branches branch out, and you have all the leaves. Okay, so one big solid tree, all right? Well, remember, communism is a revolutionary religion. A revolutionary religion. And the goal is to bring the tree down. The tree is your country. The tree is your society. The goal is to bring it down, all right? So it takes time to do that with a big, powerful tree. It just does. You have to start in the roots. You get into the roots. And think about communists like a poison. Okay, you got the tree pictured in your mind. And think about this poison getting into just the tip of the roots. And then it slowly starts working its way from the tip and working its way down into the rest of the roots. And soon it's consumed the roots, and now it's starting to work its way up the trunk of the tree. That's what's been happening in the United States of America for decades. And the communist realizes, as he's consuming a society, infecting it and destroying it, he realizes there are things that hold him back. And one of the main things that holds him back is the truth. And I'm not even trying to be glib. I'm not even trying to take shots at him. Facts and truth, they destroy everything the communist wants and everything the communist says. It's why your liberal Aunt Peggy changes the subject or calls you names when you start arguing politics with her. The truth is not in her. She doesn't have the truth. She doesn't have the facts. She doesn't. And so the communist has learned to be disdainful of the truth. This cut is permanently on the soundboard for a reason. This is the head of NPR.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
The truth? Oh, that's a distraction. We're trying to get consensus. We're trying to get things done. We don't have time for the truth. You know, if you go down a list of the things, I want you to think about this. Think about your average American Democrat and go down the list of things they believe. And factually or truthfully, they're all completely opposite. Opposite of the truth. Just think about that. It's true when you think about it. So what do you do if you're a communist? This thing called the truth is constantly getting in your way. Remember this. This is from a couple years ago. It's a great example. This is Dr. Birx, Deborah Birx, that witch, being interrogated by Jim Jordan after she and the entire government and all the medical institutions told you the vaccine stopped the spread. That's what she said. Listen to this.
When the government told us that the vaccinated couldn't transmit it, was that a lie or was that a guess? Or is it the same answer?
I think it was hope. that the vaccine would work in that way. And that's why I think scientists and public health leaders always have to be at the table, very clear what we know and what we don't know.
This is important for the country to know. So when I asked the question, when the government told us that the vaccinated couldn't get it, and I asked you if it was a guess or a lie, you said you don't know. You said you think it was hope. So what we do know is it wasn't the truth. So they were either guessing, lying, or hoping, and communicating that information to the citizens of this country.
I think they were hoping.
Yeah. Let's have a talk. Before we do that, here's a truth, a fact, your liberal Aunt Peggy believes. It's just a clump of cells. It's not even viable. Just a clump of cells. Why is preborn successful? Why does preborn save so many babies? What preborn does is it takes the truth and it simply presents it to the mother for the first time. That young lady who's about to have an abortion, she's convinced herself and society has convinced her that it is just a clump of cells. It's nothing. It's not that important. Preborn, through the gift of ultrasound, the mother hears that heartbeat. Go look at your little baby. And the truth gets in her at that point in time, and she chooses life. And your $28 is what buys that ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse. Go give. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, apparently playing druggy music for you here. Chris, Fly Like an Eagle. You know that was some kind of reference to some weird 60s drugs or something like that. What, Chris? Okay, that was a very fair point. Chris said what music from that era wasn't. That's fair. All right, you know what? Never mind, Chris. Continue. Carry on. All right, back to what we were talking about. The communists, the truth, facts, these are things that impede them, get in the way. So how do you overcome that if you're a communist? You're not going to change your ways. That's not how communists think. You're not going to change your ways. What you need to do is you need to seize the institutions who decide the truth. How could our medical institutions possibly sell the American people on the fact that a vaccine slowed the spread, stopped the spread, when in fact they didn't. How could doctors in this country be so broken that they answer questions like this?
When the government told us that the vaccine couldn't transmit it. Was that a lie or was that a guess? Or is it the same answer?
I think it was hope. That's a
hope? How do you get so many doctors to go along with something that's not true? You don't go to the doctors. You go to the medical institutions that produce the doctors, and you seize the institutions. You see? You seize the institution because the institution is the thing that grants legitimacy. So I don't need to go to this doctor and tie him to a chair and put him through mass amounts of brainwashing to get him to repeat obvious lies like that poisonous therapeutic will stop the spread. That's not how I need to get to that doctor. I need to go to Johns Hopkins. I need to go to Harvard Medical School. And I need to ensure that I take over the administration, that I take over all the professors, so that every little medical student will turn into a vile little communist drone. And once I seize the institution, then I will produce legions after legions after legions of doctors who will promote the lies I want told. You seize the institutions because the institutions themselves are the ones that grant legitimacy. Here's one for you. Democrats want climate literacy in schools As literacy fails, America's K through 12 schools are failing children on how to read. American children, their reading comprehension is beyond pathetic. Our scores are dropping. We can't complete sentences. And in the midst of all this, what do Democrats want? They want climate literacy in the school. When the facts of man-made climate change, when the facts don't back you up, when the truth doesn't back you up, when the polar ice caps aren't melting, when we're not going into an ice age, when we're not all going to burn alive, when the truth is something that is getting in the way of your dirtball climate goals, then what do? You don't change your goals. You simply go to the institution that is churning out the truth, and you seize it. Here's another one. The NFL. I have not been watching, but apparently the NFL, they've engaged in a get out the vote effort. Apparently this is being played during the games and things like that. Get out the vote. Get out the vote. Everyone go get out the vote. And they're claiming it's a nonpartisan effort. But the Federalists dug into this. And guess what they found out? Oh, well, this is from them. All the groups, I Am a Voter, Rock the Vote, Rise to Vote, Vet the Vote, and Vota Latino, Chris, that's Mexican. All the groups, they all have two things in common. They all claim to be nonpartisan, and they're all left-wing. Every single one of them. And so you create a nonpartisan institution? Oh, we're nonpartisan. Quit being political. Oh, don't bring those Republican talking points here. We're not being political. You create a nonpartisan organization. We're very nonpartisan. And then you take your nonpartisan organization and you go to the NFL. The whole country's watching the NFL right now. And you say, hey, NFL, we're not Democrat. That would get you in trouble. We're not Republican. That would get you in big trouble. We are nonpartisan, and we just want to run nonpartisan voting ads on your games. And the NFL said, sure. And soon, before you know it, the United States of America is sitting there watching football on Sunday with commie filth being beamed into their heads and sold as nonpartisan, seizing the institutions themselves. We talked about it recently when it came to the FBI. Dome, remember in that when the moderator interrupted Trump? Trump was talking about the crime in modern American cities. Remember he was talking about the crime in David Muir It was David Muir and Lindsay Lip injections, the two moderators for ABC. Only it was Muir, if I remember right. Muir steps in and starts talking over Trump. He interrupted Trump and starts talking over him when Trump's talking about the crime, all this crime. And Muir says what? I'm paraphrasing, but Muir steps in and says, well, no, hold on. Oh, you have it, Chris? Oh, here it is.
Crime here is up and through the roof. Despite their fraudulent statements that they made, crime in this country is through the roof. And we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But
Vice President Harris, the FBI defrauded statements. They didn't include the worst cities. They didn't include the cities with the worst crime. It was a fraud, just like their number of 818,000 jobs that they said they created turned out to be a fraud.
President Trump, thank you.
Trump did a pretty good job there clarifying it. But you see what David Muir did? If you're a scumbag communist, meaning a Democrat, what you want is you want the border open because you hate your country and you feel like no one really deserves citizenship. If anyone does, then everyone does. And you want rapists and murderers to come into your country and steal your jobs and rape your women and murder everybody. That's what you want if you're a Democrat. Don't act like you don't. That's what you want. And so those are the policies you put into place. And you also want American criminals to be let out of jail. You want jails to be exclusively for your political enemies, like all communists believe. And so you got a problem, though. When you turn violent criminals loose, crime goes up. When you import more criminals, crime goes up. So the truth, once again, the truth is inconvenient for you. The truth is holding you back.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
We are trying to get things done. We are trying to burn this country down and fill it up with scumbags from all over the planet. We are trying to get this done, and this truth of what's happening with crime is holding us back. So what do? Well, you simply seize the institutions like the FBI. You make sure you take years putting your people into place in positions of power at the FBI. So once you fill up the country with scumbag criminals, once that violent crime goes up after you do that, you understand that you have seized the institution that reports violent crime, and the institution that reports violent crime will tell the lies you need told in order to hide that pesky truth.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
Judicial training in climate science raises concerns about creating bias against oil and gas companies. Oh, you wanted to do some horrific, tyrannical, illegal things against oil and gas companies? There's no way a judge would go for that. Unless, of course, you seize the institutions training the judges, then you'll create legions of judges who will do exactly that. That's how the poison works its way up the tree. All right, let's get to some emails. Before we get to some emails, I want to get to you. I want to get to how you feel in the afternoon. When 3-4 in the afternoon hits, been at work all day, picking up kids, maybe it's time to make dinner, go home, work out, maybe you're going to be at the office late. Are you out of gas reaching for a cup of coffee, or do you feel great? I feel great. Look at me. What time is it right now? 7 o'clock at night or something like that? I feel like $1 million. I take chalk every day. Natural herbal supplements. You don't have to take a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Maybe that's not what you want. Maybe you can't afford it. Maybe it's not for you. Why don't you start out with chalk lit powder? Start out with their lit powder. It's vitamins and minerals, everything you need. You start your day with it. Call them. Text them 50CHOQ3000. That's CHOQ. Or you can go to chalk.com. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we are going to dig into some of those emails. We have some juicy stuff still to come in the final hour. We're going to talk some more about Zelensky visited Pennsylvania. There's all kinds of creepiness going on there. What's going on in the Air Force? There's a bunch to get to, but I promised emails and I shall get to those. Send us your emails. We love them. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Jesse, I'm a 67-year-old male who started listening to Rush in 1992. As a result, became conservative and Republican. 94, I was very hopeful. Goes on to talk about how useless the GOP is. GOP's done nothing but grab their ankles and lose almost every meaningful fight. So yeah, if things go south in November, I'm definitely checking out. I don't have enough time left to care about these feckless weasels who have continually disappointed me. You know, that's the thing about GOP cowardice. It's the thing that really none of them understand. And the ones who might understand it don't care. When the GOP caves on something important, which that's all the GOP does, when they cave on something important, it's larger than any one individual thing they're caving on. When you show cowardice in the face of these communists, when you fail the people who sent you there, it has a larger impact than just the bill or thing you just passed. The impact is you disenfranchise, you bum out your base, and you can get them to completely check out if you do it to them enough times. It's like, I feel like we're using a lot of sports analogies recently, but might as well use one in football. It's football season. Have you ever heard of a quarterback or a head coach saying something? Tom Brady just recently gave an interview like this. It's what made me think of it. He would talk about how he would make sure early on in a game, he would try to make sure every receiver he had a chance to touch the ball, even if it maybe wasn't the best play. Hey, we haven't hit our slot receiver yet. We're running a play for him or throwing him the ball. Why? Strategically, it shouldn't matter. If you don't get him the ball and get him involved early, he will mentally check out and you lose him. Every single time the GOP fails us, every time they tuck their tails and run, every time they pull the CR crap, every time they cave on it, it has a greater effect than just whatever the bill happens to be. That effect is guys exactly like this one. I can't even crush him for this email. Jesse, I'm 67. If they screw me again, I am checked out. I'm leaving. That's the effect it has. You disenfranchise the people who sent you there when you fail them time and time and time again. And we discussed earlier in the show one of the main reasons they get there, and they're supposed to be these reformers. You know, they run on being reformers. We're gonna drain the swamp. We're gonna clean up all the crap in D.C. And then they get there and they vote for every continuing resolution, every big spending bill, everything. And we talked for a lot earlier about the reasons for that. But these guys, you can tell what I said was true when I said they're just there to keep the castle. They're there to keep the castle the way it is. Once they get in there, they decide they want it to stay that way. You can tell they're that way because when Republicans are interviewed about government shutdowns or potential government shutdowns, they'll say things like, well, we got to keep the government open for the people. Well, we have to govern. Have you ever heard a Republican say that? They sent us here to govern. We have to govern. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I sent you there so you can stop the tyrants from governing me. I have never once voted for anybody in my adult life and voted for them thinking, I want this guy to govern me. I hope he can govern me. I am a free American.
There are too many laws, too many regulations, too many influences, too much censorship on my life. I want you to go there and stop that. Republicans think it's their job to govern when they should think it's their job to oppose the government. That's a huge tell. Whenever you hear that, they sent us here to govern, you're about to get screwed. Hey, Jesse, I was showing my brother some of your old podcasts. Where are you on the Torpedo Park? I forgot about the Torpedo Park. Chris, don't you remember? At first, we decided it was going to be for pedophiles, and we were going to get to launch live torpedoes at them because torpedoes are sweet. And then we decided maybe that was a little too heavy, and it should be kind of more fun for everybody. I think we settled, didn't we settle on needle torpedoes where everyone's going to be in kind of a jet ski with an inflatable bottom and the torpedoes have like big needles on the end and it punctures your jet ski and then your jet ski sinks? I think that's where we landed on that whole thing, Chris. Anyway, where are we in it? I would say the development stage. This is what, that's what they say in business, Chris, when you haven't done anything yet. When you've put in no effort, no money, and put nothing down on paper at all, you just say everything's in the development stage. And then whenever you say that, see, it's just like politics. You need to lie while not making it sound like a lie. So what, Chris? Listen, I'm teaching you about life. When people ask you about business ideas, no matter where you are, it's in the development stage. When you say that to normal people, they think you're behind closed doors, that you're working with engineers and consultants. They think you're putting the financing together. We're putting the finishing touches on some plans. They don't know you haven't put any effort into it at all. I used this on the wife the other day. Our garbage disposal was messed up and it was messing up. And she'd said, hey, we need to get this fixed. And then I'd forgotten about it. And then she hit me with a, hey, where are we in the fixing the garbage disposal thing? And I hit her with the development stage thing, Chris. I will admit that she was not as receptive to it as I had hoped she would be. But I said, oh, it's in development. And she knows me well enough to say, what's that mean, Jesse? And I said, well, I'm working on it. Working on it how? How many people have you called? Well, none per se. But anyway, we have an hour left. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.